Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. We are privileged to have two guests this week on Talk Nation Radio, both from the Iraqi Student Project. The executive director, Robert Rosser, is in St. Louis. He's a college professor with a PhD in rhetoric, linguistics, and literature. And Farah Muhsin Al-Muzawi is an Iraqi citizen and a former student representative with the Iraqi Student Project. She's speaking with us from Columbia, Maryland. The website of the organization is iraqistudentproject.org. Robert and Farah, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you, David.
What is the Iraqi Student Project? How did it get started? What does it aim to do?
The Iraqi Student Project was the brainchild of a retired couple who had visited Iraq even during the sanctions and before the invasion. In 2007, with all the knowledge and awareness that they had accumulated by that time, they founded the Iraqi Student Project and set up a center in Damascus, Syria, where so many Iraqi refugees were then located. And the center was designed to prepare Iraqi refugee college students, those of college age, for admission to American colleges and universities. And we operated on the basis of complete tuition remission and room and board included, and or permission to live with a host family. So we asked big, and we got some very big responses. 62 students have gone through the program. The situation in Syria now, and as of a year ago, forced us to close the center there. So the future is being debated currently. As far as the experience for the students, I should let Farah answer. She was in ISP 1, weren't you, Farah?
That's right.
She has since graduated and is very active in political and social issues. So, Farah, what was it like being an ISP student?
I was actually in Syria, in Damascus at the time, living with my family, and a friend of mine who was Syrian, actually, who heard about the Iraqi Student Project, and he advised that I should check it out. And I, at the beginning, I was very hesitant, because at the time, there were a lot of organizations that were recruiting Iraqis who spoke English fluently to work with the American troops in Iraq. So in my mind, I thought that's what it was. But then I met Gabe and Teresa, and then I found this amazing, you know, hippie couple who really radiate peace and love. We had an hour-long conversation during our meeting, and they welcomed me to attend the workshop, which we had, the Iraqi Student Project basically had weekly workshops every Friday in Old Damascus and then in a gallery. A house that was out and turned into the gallery, and where students gathered together and learned about the educational system in the United States and some of the cultural aspects of the United States. And then when I walked in, I remember the first thing that I recognized was this house or this project was encompassed Iraqis from different backgrounds and different beliefs. All together, they were unified in a time when Iraq was actually torn to pieces because of the religious and sectarian division. So in the circle, you find the Sunnis, the Shias, the Kurds, the Arabs, the Sabias, the Christians, the non-believers, everybody, were all gathered together and under the same roof. For me to see that as an Iraqi was really beautiful and joyful, and I wanted to join in even more to be part of this unique group. And initially, I wanted to join the Iraqi Student Project and come to study in the United States after I was convinced that it was purely for educational purposes and not recruitment, because I was really interested in learning about politics in the United States, democracy in particular, and why the United States chose Iraq to be the scapegoat to use to shove democracy down the throat of its people, and instead of going to countries that are clearly corrupt, it clearly needs to change and in desperate need for that, but the United States did nothing about it. So I wanted to understand more about, the concept, that understanding of where the United States is going with this democracy ideology and the war in Iraq as well.
Farah, had you learned English in school in Iraq?
Well, I cheated. When I was 4 years old, my family and I lived in England. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and unfortunately in Iraq, there wasn't proper medication at the time. And it was still, you know, late 80s, so Iraq was relatively, you know, just came out of the war with Iran and doing somewhat okay. And so we went to England for medical treatment, and that's where I picked up some of the accent. But when we returned to Iraq, my parents both encouraged me to continue with learning English, just because, you know, I picked it up so quickly, and it, you know, quickly could be forgotten if I don't practice it. And so my parents really tried to bring me books, videos. They would have conversations with me. My sisters do. So I kept up with the language. And in Iraq, we did have a good educational system. I mean, that's why the whole Iraqi Student Project idea came from. We teach, the educational system in Iraq was that we teach children to start learning English from the fifth grade in elementary school, primary school, all throughout, you know, high school, middle school and high school, and even college. So it's all colleges in Iraq, they teach their material in English. And it's also British English, not even American English. And except for the majors, religion and language, in Arabic literature or Arabic language, which are obviously taught in Arabic.
I'm not sure most Americans are aware of the state of Iraq's educational system before the most recent war and after, or of the state of refugees still unable to return to Iraq. Can you, either of you, fill us in briefly on what happened to Iraq's educational system?
Well, I would again refer to the website. You gave the URL for the website where we go into the history of Iraq. And, of course, it's often called, and indeed is, the cradle of civilization. And they had a superb educational system before the invasion, probably the best in the Middle East. And one of the real tragedies of the invasion was the targeted bombing of 84% of the universities and colleges in Iraq. This was clearly a deliberate aim to destroy not only what was perceived as enemy, but as a culture itself. That 84% number comes from a Commonweal, the magazine Commonweal study, which was done in about 2004, 2005, early on. So it was a superb educational system, and both Gabe Huck and Teresa Kubisak, to whom Farah has referred as the founders of the program, were in education in one way or another. I have been in education all my life, higher education. Gabe and I were in college together in 1961, so we go back a way. But that was, as Farah said, the primary motivation for establishing the Iraqi Student Project. There are many, many other needs that need to be addressed in Iraq, both then and now, because of their backgrounds and the friends who wanted to join them in this project. We concentrated on the opportunities that were lost in Iraq for higher education.
The website, again, is iraqistudentproject.org, and we're speaking with the executive director, Robert Rosser, and with Farah Mohsin al-Moussaoui, an Iraqi citizen now living in the United States who's participated in the Iraqi Student Project. Robert, you had to reach out to colleges and universities in the United States to get them to participate in this, and that there are 39 partner colleges listed on the website. I understand they were actually very receptive to the idea.
They were. If you went through that list, which you can find on the website, you will notice that many of them are private and religious colleges, which seemed more receptive, of course, I suppose understandably, because of their involvement in social issues, cultural issues, as a result of being a religious institution. But that it hasn't been exclusive of that by any means. I mean, we had currently, for example, we have students at Whitman College in Walla Walla, Washington, Tufts University, Worcester Poly Institute in New York, or in Massachusetts, I mean, NYU Poly in Brooklyn. Just trying to give a sample of those that were generous with us because of the of the need and their conviction that an Iraqi in the midst of their student body would be a very good influence for truly understanding. And of course, 5 years ago, we needed a lot of understanding about who Iraqis were, because they had been portrayed in the media as only the enemy. We have a student at Dartmouth. We have a student at Smith. It's quite a thing to approach a college and say, here's the student. We show them the TOEFL score, which they took in Damascus.
Teaching of English as a foreign language.
Transcripts translated from Arabic and so forth from their high school. And we say, this is what we're asking. And namely, we're asking everything, a complete free ride. And in almost every case, we got it. Became a little more difficult year before last and last year because of economic downturn in the States. Colleges were a little more reluctant, so we had a more of a struggle getting in the last class, which was 8 students who came in the fall of 2012. But nevertheless, we also surround each student with a support group, which raises funds for them, in addition to providing emotional and social friendship and support. And we raise funds on the national level to provide such things as health insurance and the more expensive things that were not included in the scholarships.
And Farah, what was your experience? What school did you go to, and how did the Iraqi Student Project help out?
Yeah, I was actually enrolled at the Dominican University in Northern California, beautiful Bay Area location. I was very surprised by the welcome and the reception that I got by the support group and by the school itself and by everybody else that I ran into. The school is very small in size and in body. We have about 2,800 students, more or less, every year. And one of my school group members, Mr. Carla Kovac, who's the campus ministry director, she had announced prior to my arrival that there will be two Iraqi students, actually, will be arriving, so I hope the university will make them feel welcome. And sure enough, from the first day, I actually sat down in a big round table full of students who are all eager to know who I am and what it's like to be an Iraqi, what's my cultural background, et cetera, et cetera. And we remain friends till this day. The same group of people that were sitting on that round table was still in touch. And I was blessed to be one of the students who had the chance to live with a host family. And it's upon my personal request, I wanted to have the family experience because I wanted to learn more about the American people and American culture and traditions. And I was so, lucky to be landed with a rock and roll family from the Bay Area. My host father is Pete Pierce from the Jefferson Starship band. He currently plays with Moon Alice. And my host mother, Jeanette Spears, she's a novelist. She wrote a novel recently and has been published. And she was also a lyricist with the Jefferson Starship. I even though they're a rock and roll family, there are so many values that they carry that were very, very close and similar to what I grew up with, which is tolerance, loving one another, caring for one another. The evidence is, them accepting a completely, strange Iraqi students that they didn't know much about before arriving. And I actually moved back in with them after I graduated. And so this shows you that how strong of a relationship that we have built. And my experience at this school was phenomenal. I mean, I had the best time of my life. I had great professors who held my hand throughout every step of the way, who, you know, showed me how to do my assignments, how to write my papers, and finally I managed to write a thesis, which I never thought I would be able to do, but with the help and support of all my professors and teachers, I managed to do that, and I'm very proud of the students. So, and the students, like I said, they're all amazing, and I built wonderful relationships with all of them, or most of them that I met as well. So I would say it has been a great experience. And I have to say, you know, it wouldn't have been possible if it weren't for the support group that was formed. You know, I can't neglect to mention Sister Carla Kovac. Sister Carla Kovac was, you know, instrumental in helping me in every step of the way. You know, she's like a second mother to me. Sometimes I call her my very godmother as well. and, you know, the other members, Tressa Breslin, who also helped us out, me and the other students who attended Dominican University every step of the way. So, I mean, it was really beautiful to see the generosity and the love coming from people that I, you know, knew nothing about or saw only, you know, men and women in uniform in my country, which was very traumatizing. And then to see them on a different level of understanding and on a different ground was quite the experience.
Robert, have the other students who've participated had their experiences be as satisfying and go as smoothly as it sounds like this one did?
Well, I'm not sure I could say 100%. There, as you might expect, were a few students, but very few, who had quite a difficult time adjusting to American culture. But none who ever complained of mistreatment or being ignored or whatever, except in one instance where there was an on-campus association and religious base that pestered one of our students about being Muslim and insisted that without being a Christian he couldn't go to heaven and so forth and so on. And this was one case in which we had to transfer the student to another school because, you know, some can take that, some cannot, and this student had already undergone a great deal of trauma, and his family had too in Iraq. So, but he was enthusiastically welcomed at another school, a Benedictine school, as a matter of fact, and graduated this past May. Some struggle to return to Iraq or Syria after beginning the program, but that 2 out of 62 that we brought, so the record is pretty good. And I would again want to emphasize what Farah emphasized. This is largely because of loving, supportive support groups who surround them.
When you look at polls of the American public as a whole, you see what appears to be incredible ignorance about Iraq, a majority of Americans believing that Iraq benefited from the war that destroyed not just the educational system, but much of Iraqi society. This seems like a huge advantage, having Iraqi young people in the United States. Has there been a lot of this sort of communication, of educating people about the actual state of affairs in Iraq?
Absolutely, and I'll let Farah expand on this, but part of our program in Damascus is preparing these students for a full year, and in some cases two, in language skills, study skills, American academic situation. We include that the expectation will be that when given the opportunity, they will speak publicly about what has happened in their country and try to clarify some of the misconceptions that Iraq was freed from Saddam Hussein and now everything is lovely. The media, of course, have given a little more attention here lately because of the tragic killings, bombings, the sectarian violence going on. But back then, it was like George Bush declared victory, and it was all over. Aren't they grateful that we went and gave them democracy? Which is a far, far cry from the truth. I remember one senator said, now that the Iraq War is over, on the 10th anniversary of the invasion, now that the Iraq War is over, we ought to ask Iraq to repay us, pay us back for some of our expenses for liberating them. And I think I was never more aghast in my life. But yes, the students play a big role in telling the truth about Iraq.
Farah, have you had a lot of opportunities to tell Americans about what's happened in Iraq?
You know, when I first came here, you know, just curious and anxious to learn more about the American public, and I expected that a lot of people would know more about Iraq, but to my surprise, I found that not many people even know that the Iraq War was still going on, even after 5 years since it began. And I came here in 2008, so it had been 5 years since the Iraq War started, and the troops were still in Iraq, and there was still some acts of confrontation between sectarian, you know, groups and the United States military. And so I keep on receiving these questions and inquiries and sometimes just statements, people saying, you know, well, we're just so happy that we finally gave you democracy. Or, you know, people would say, oh, are you happy that you don't have to wear the hijab anymore because you're free, or, you know, things like that. You know, stare at them, and I would choose either to be angry or choose to, you know, in my mind thinking, choose to take this opportunity and educate them. And so I found myself taking the second route, which is choosing to educate the people. And then, you know, eventually I started to get invitations to speak in places and schools, universities, conferences, et cetera, talk about the reality of what has happened in Iraq. What Iraq was before and how it becomes after the invasion. What is Iraq like today? And in many cases, people don't really know that Iraq was a secular state. Many people don't know that Iraq had the best educational system in the region. Many people didn't know that Iraq had crippled economic sanctions that basically devastated the whole entire economy, the whole entire country. Many people didn't know that Iraqis are, you know, the majority of Iraqis have college degrees. I mean, the least that they could have is a bachelor's degree. The majority of Iraqi people who have PhDs were women in Iraq. That women had more rights in Iraq before the invasion than after the invasion. That they were able to inherit, that they weren't able to work in business. Unlike today, where the laws have changed, the whole constitution has changed, has been amended to benefit those who are in power today. Now, I mean, in response to what Dr. Bostic has said about, you know, one senator saying that Iraq should pay the United States for all the damages, I've also heard the same statement. And it was actually a California senator, and I, you know, the name is skipping my mind. And it is very disgusting to hear that because, you know, to see now that the majority of the companies that are investing in Iraq, oil companies investing in Iraq, are American companies, are American corporations. And the majority of the income that is coming back or returning to Iraq is actually being stored in bank accounts of the Iraqi regime, the current Iraqi regime. So in New York banks alone, there are over a billion dollars that belong to Iraqi politicians. Now, one would think, well, where did all that money come from? And why isn't it going to help the Iraqi people? Till this day, Iraqis still don't have electricity. I spoke to my sisters not too long ago on the phone, and they were saying that they still have, you know, 6 hours of electricity, and the rest of the day they have nothing. And imagine people are enduring, you know, no electricity, no basic services throughout the heat of summer. And for those who have been to Iraq or the Middle East would realize how crucial summer is. It's really cool. It's very painful to survive, you know, during the heat, and we have massive heat waves there. So that's like the one thing that one would consider. So if even Iraq had the finances, they should have been directed to help the people, help the society. But even with that, the politicians are not doing anything about it.
Have a number of students been through the Iraqi Student Project and returned to Iraq and kept in touch and communicated?
The students who have returned to Iraq are very few, always in a case of family crisis. And the main reason for that during their studies is the anticipated difficulty of getting back in with Homeland Security. Actually, when our students come the first time, when they're just beginning their studies, we tell them, be prepared to be held in the airport for up to 6 or 8 hours. And there is a group, their support group, that is already formed waiting for them to arrive. And they, too, have had to wait all that time. And it's simply because they're Iraqi. They're just as... we've never had anyone sent back, but... The treatment has been pretty bitter, and we are reluctant, and they are reluctant to return because of to return to Iraq because of the difficulty in getting back into the United States.
In a minute or so that we have left, what can people do who are interested in getting involved in helping students, in forming a support group, or anything else that might be of assistance?
We need financial support, and I'm never ashamed to say that, because as the economy takes a decline, the costs of higher education don't seem to follow. They seem to be rising still. Last year I paid, for example, because his support group couldn't, or it's a small support group, I paid $580 for health insurance for the year. Him, which is mandatory. They have to have health insurance. And this year, I paid $800 and something for 1 year of health insurance. We're about to send out our fall appeal. I call it the back-to-school appeal, but it's something we send out every fall because we need financial support. But anyone who would like to get involved more directly with the students, and we certainly like that very much, could go on the website, see where they're located, and also on that website there's a list of the support group leaders' emails, so they can contact the support group leader and say, what can I do to help? And we have a student in Louisville, Kentucky. We have a student in Memphis, so they can see where the student is, and if they're in that location, they can contact the support group leader and join the support group. Or they can make donations through several means to the National Center, which is in St. Louis. All of that is on the website. Well, on our Facebook, you can find the Iraqi Student Project on Facebook.
The website again is iraqistudentproject.org. We've been speaking with Robert Rosser and with Farah Mohsen Al-Moussaoui. Thanks to you both for coming on Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you very much for having us.
This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. All past shows can be heard at davidswanson.org. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. If you are listening to a nonprofit station, please support that station. Talk Nation Radio is funded by contributors at davidswanson.org. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Until next time.